I'm always drawn to people and their stories, especially the people who are outliers, the lonely, the outcast, the voiceless, the ones no one pay attention to, the ones who seem to not be a big deal but end up being the ones God raise up and give them a voice. I pay attention to them because I want to know their stories. I want to know the hows and the whys and the lesson their lives teach us about our relationship with God and to one another. These are the people you should sit up under and gain wisdom from, because they often have a humble story that is full of God interwoven through their story. I almost read the Bible the same way. I'm drawn to those with interesting stories, those who make you dig through the Bible in search of answers, like Ehud, the left-handed soldier, and Junia, the woman apostle who gave Bible translators a run for their money. Today, we will take a look at one of those stories, Anna, the prophetess. During the Advent season and the Christmas season, we often focus on Mary for obvious reasons. I mean, she carried the baby Messiah in her belly, so we should focus on her. And then there's another one we often focus on is her cousin, Elizabeth. And we are told that the baby inside of Elizabeth leapt at the sound of Jesus. But Anna's story is rarely ever told. The significance of her story is rarely shared. Her importance in the family and her relevance to the coming Messiah are rarely emphasized. So today, I want us to bring Anna a little closer into the family, because this is us, right? I want us to draw her a little nearer to hear her voice. I want us to put the spotlight on Anna for just a second, and I want us to give her the mic so we can hear her voice. In just two verses, the Bible tells us more about Anna's life than it does many other characters. In these verses, it tells us who Anna is in the present, who she was in the past, and we can almost infer who she will be in the future based on these verses. So let us read Luke 2, verses 36 through 38. And it reads, "And there was a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was advanced in years and had lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage, and then as a widow to the age of 84. She never left the temple, serving night and day with fastings and prayers. At that very moment, she came up and began giving thanks to God and continued to speak of him to all those who were looking for the redemption of Jerusalem." Now, if you read the verses before this passage, it would explain the context of what is happening with Anna. Mary and Joseph brought 8-day-old Jesus to the temple to be presented to the Lord as required according to the law of Moses. And this is where Anna and Jesus' story converge. In this text on Anna, I want to make some observations, particularly 3 observations and 3 lessons learned, and then the sermon is over. You get to go home. For the first observation, right away, the passage on Anna tells us she was a prophetess, one who proclaims the word of God, one who leads the people to God and draws their attention to God. And in order to be a prophetess, or called a prophetess, this person must also be attuned to God to hear from God, so much so that she would point others to God. So that was Anna. She was the prophetess. Both day and night, she was attuned to God. She cultivated a life of worship and a life of prayer. She devoted herself to God and his kingdom. She was so attuned to God that she heard things from God that the average person did not hear from God, because they had not created that discipline to hear from God. And that's why her little three verses of this narrative are so important. I can only imagine Anna's humility. I can only imagine how the young and the old of the temple would come to her for spiritual direction, because she heard from God. And her job was to tell the people a message from the Lord. And I also want to mention, to be a prophetess in a culture that saw women as property, that is a big deal. Women were supposed to mostly be confined to their father or husband's homes. And from these three verses, none of which was present in Anna's life. She found a home, a family in the temple of God. Now you see why I was drawn to her? Now the second observation I want to make is that these three verses tell us of Anna's pain and sorrow. Now if you lean in a little closer to listen to Anna, you will hear of her pain and of her sorrow. She had been married, and after 7 years, her husband died. These verses don't tell us whether she had any children in the marriage or if she had any extended family to take care of her. Now, in that culture, again, a woman without a husband or a son or male relatives to take care of her and to cover her and to support her is likely to suffer great atrocities like poverty, homelessness, shame, which is why the Bible often spoke so much about caring for the widows, being fair to them, and treating them with dignity and kindness. These verses tell us that Anna was widowed most of her life. Now, if we do the math, because I was a former math teacher, so I like numbers, and I like, playing with numbers a little bit. So if you do the math, if she was married around 20, and that would be very generous, because in that culture, women did not marry as late as 20. So maybe 15, but I'm going to be generous and say 20. So let's say she was married at 20, and she stayed married for 7 years. And then her husband dies, and now she's 84. So how many years has she been a widow? 57, yes, based on my math. 57 years without remarrying. And some translations even say she's been a widow for 84 years, which means she would be well over 100 at the time she met baby Jesus. Now imagine Anna's life. No children, no family, no husband. You're a widow. She's mourning the loss of many things. Where could she go to find rest and peace? Where could someone like Anna find a home? Where could she find refuge? These verses tell us exactly where Anna found rest, peace, a home, a family, a refuge. She found it in God, in the temple, in the house of God. She said, finding refuge in God is good enough for me. She devoted the rest of her life to God, to becoming the voice through whom he spoke. That's where she was most at home, in God's house. The third and final observation is what Anna did in her new home. The new family she found. Not only did she find a new family, she also found a different purpose. Verse 37 says she never left the temple, but worshiped night and day, fasting and praying. Now, I'm not sure if Anna literally lived in the temple day and night, but the point is Anna devoted herself to the work of the Lord, worshiping, fasting, and praying. I'm a believer in the power of worshiping, praying, and fasting. I'm a believer that when the body of Christ come together to worship and pray, we get to experience God in a whole different way. When we pray, we step into learning to better discern the voice of God. A church that is built on worship and praying, no matter the circumstances, is a church that will see God in ways that many may not anticipate. The process of praying and waiting on God in order to see Him at work is one that moves you into a deeper, closer relationship with God. And because of Anna's devotion to prayer and fasting, she was able to instantly know the baby Messiah when she saw him. And when she saw him, she gave thanks to God. She praised and worshiped him. I suspect Anna's prayers had been answered when she saw the baby Messiah. It was at that moment her story and Jesus' story converged, just at that right time. And finally, she was able to pour her praises on him. This past week, I stepped into Anna's shoes. I did research upon research on her life to learn about who she is and the culture that she grew up in and the culture that we found her. It's funny, when you study someone like Anna and step into their shoes, interesting things start happening to your life. I'd wake up worshiping and with prayers on my tongue. I'm like, what is happening to me? Am I channeling Anna? And she taught me a few lessons that I would love to share with you this morning as well. And the first lesson is, Anna lost her family, but she found it through her family of Christ, which shows us that God can raise up a new family for those without through his body. And that's what God did in Anna's life. A couple weeks ago, I preached that the only identity I can claim at 100% is my Christ identity. In God's house, we are a new kind of family. No, we are a new kind of family to support one another, to encourage one another, to pray for each other, to celebrate each other's successes, and to mourn each other's losses. Had it not been for this new family, Anna would not have survived the loss of everything that was supposed to bring meaning into her life. Christ gave her a new family. And it's no wonder she worshiped him day and night, because she can testify of what he's done for her. He literally gave her new life. And the second observation, The second lesson that I can share with you is there's purpose for all in the body of Christ. We met Anna in her older years, but it didn't look like she was getting ready to slow down or retire anytime soon. She knew there was still purpose for her, and purpose only she can fulfill. When we first moved from New Jersey in 2004 and I attended seminary, I was all kinds of a mess. I mean, I was crying for all kinds of reasons, for leaving family behind, for not having friends. My husband would look at me and say, "We moved for you. Why are you crying? What's your problem?" And I was also crying because I'm studying Bible and theology. I mean, new concepts and new phrases, new things that I had never heard of before. This new Bible and theology stuff is messing with my faith. You know, my neat little faith that I had before studying Bible and theology. I was a mess. I tell people, Texas is the worst and best thing that ever happened to me. Now, I know true Texans are looking at me like, the worst? What do you mean the worst? It was good, too. They were good. It was the best of times and the worst of times. But that first semester in seminary, I met a friend, Carol. Carol was from Lubbock, and she was old enough to be my mother. But people my age couldn't handle my mess at that time, so I needed somebody older to just mother me at that time. Carol's children were adults and out of her home, and she was brand new in seminary, just like me. And Carol was also a gifted photographer. And I remember Carol saying, I don't know what I'm doing here. I have no idea what I'm doing here. I'm like, me neither. So I clung on to her. I'm like, misery love company, right? So I clung on to Carol. For that first Christmas in 2004, Carol decided to put her gifts to work and give our family a free photo shoot with prints, framed pictures, and Christmas cards to send home to our families. It's been 13 years since she did that for us, and we have never forgotten Carol's kindness to our family. Part of Carol's purpose in that new season of her life was to be of comfort to me and my family. And it came at the right time when we needed it the most. And the picture you see in the This Is Us wall, that was one of Carol's products. She loved on us. She took care of us in that season. Now, for those of you sitting here today thinking, I have no purpose in the Redeemer family. I have no purpose in the body of Christ. Here's a message from Anna. This is what Anna would say. As long as you are breathing, you have purpose in the body of Christ. The children have purpose. The young adults have purpose. The youth have purpose. The old have purpose. The widow have purpose. The babies. To hear a baby cry, there's purpose in that. We have purpose in the body of God. And the final lesson I want to share with you is, because of Anna's constant worship, praying, and fasting, she did not miss Jesus. I have a great fear for us in the Christmas season, and that is we can get so busy and focused on buying gifts to celebrate. And if we're not careful, we could miss Jesus. You believe that? No, it's not the Starbucks cup's colors that would make us miss Jesus. Or someone saying happy holidays versus Merry Christmas that would make us miss Jesus. But it would be us not freeing up ourselves to fully listen to Jesus, to wait on the Lord, to hear from him, to sit at his feet, to study him, to worship him. Would you, like Anna, know Jesus if you saw him in that temple on that day? Would you have been found diligently praying and worshiping, waiting for the coming Messiah? You know, it's not too late for us to devote ourselves in such a way. So let us devote ourselves in this Advent season to waiting diligently through worshiping, praying, and fasting. Anna did not miss Jesus. The minute she saw him, she not only knew who he was, she instantly fell into worship and praise. Verse 38 says, coming up to them at that very moment, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. Anna fell into her greatest praise and worship at that very moment. This is the moment she had been praying and fasting about. This is what God had been telling her to tell the people to prepare for. This is the Messiah she had been waiting on. This is the king that was going to reign over the kingdom of God. And she fell into worship. She went into full heralding mode, going about to tell everyone that Jesus Christ is born. He's here. He's here. Let's rejoice. Let's worship. Twice this week, I woke up with the same worship song in my head. Phil Thompson, Worship You. If you've never heard of it, I would recommend it. The word says, you are worthy. And no one can worship you for me. For all the things you've done for me. And no one can worship you for me. Here's my worship, all of my worship. Receive my worship, all of my worship, God. And the part of the song to me that expresses Anna's uninhibited worship when she saw baby Jesus. When she saw baby Jesus, I can only imagine Anna saying, "And I will not be silent. I will always worship you. As long as I am breathing, I will always worship you. And I will not be silent. I will always worship you. As long as I am breathing, I will always worship you." That was Anna's worship. When she saw baby Jesus, she worshiped. She said, "As long as I am breathing, I will worship you. And can nothing keep me quiet? I will not be silent." Can we do like Anna in this Advent season? Can we fall into that kind of worship in this Christmas season and not let anything or anyone get in the way? And instantly, the moment we see baby Jesus, the moment we see Jesus, we will recognize him as the Messiah who has done great things in our lives and who will do great things in this world. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for the hope, peace, joy, and love that you graced us with through your Son, Jesus Christ. We thank you for making sure Anna's story was told so we can see how you value all of your children and give them a voice. I thank you for Anna's devotion to you that serves us as an example. She did not miss you when she saw you. She recognized you. Father, let us see you and recognize you. Let us recognize your movements throughout our lives and throughout this earth. And Father, once we see you, let us do like Anna and worship you. And let us hark the heralds like the angels and Anna, and say glory to the newborn King who came and who will come again to bring shalom in this world. In your name, Jesus, we pray. Amen.